Welcome to the Swirl World Podcast, brought to you by theswirlworld.com. We're here to help you navigate the exciting world of interracial and intercultural relationships. Whether you've been involved in an interracial relationship for a long time, or you're new to the idea of swirling someone of another race or culture, this is the podcast for you. Here are your hosts, Michelle Matthews-Colloway and Adrian London-Leach.
Greetings, Swirlers, and welcome to another edition of the Swirl World Podcast. I'm Michelle Matthews-Calloway.
And I'm Adrian London-Leach.
And as you know, we're here to entertain, inform, encourage, and inspire. Our topic for this episode centers on seasoned Swirlers, that 40 and over crowd. We've discovered in conversations with people on the Facebook page that seasoned Swirlers can be just as happy as the 20-somethings and the 30-somethings. And today what we want to do is really encourage and inspire those of you that may be over 40 and you're wondering, is it too late for me to find love? We want you to know, no, it's not. And Adrian, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about our guests?
Certainly, I will. And Mary Ellen and Dakota are going to have to help me with the pronunciation of the last name because I'm not quite as good. But Mary Ellen had sent our page, The Swirl World, a photograph of her and Dakota. And Mary Ellen, before I go into the story, would you please pronounce you and Dakota's full name for me?
Yes, my name is Mary Ellen Denuser.
Denuser, wow.
That
is okay, and I want to say that it's Denuser, so yeah. I can make a mental note and remember. So yeah. Let me get to that story. It was wonderful. I'm going to quote what Mary Ellen sent to us. She said, "I would like to add a picture to your page of my husband and I. We will have been married 13 years this coming April 13th and together for 18. He is my rock and definitely treats me with respect and dignity. We met at a financial company called Primerica, okay, and we are very committed to each other and are pretty much inseparable. So what happened, Michelle, it's what struck me about the message is that Mary Ellen also stated, and it hadn't dawned on me, but she was correct, that we didn't have a lot of the older Swirler pictures on the page, so she decided to submit one and bring it to our attention. And as I began to think about it, as I was posting her pictures, I went, you know what? She's right. And we are already an underrepresented group, black women and non-black men. We're very much underrepresented in our presentations, in our pictures and Facebook pages, on blogs. We know that most IR dating, which is all of it, we condone and we think is wonderful, but most of it centers on black men and whomever their partners are. So I got to thinking, I said, not only are black women and non-black men underrepresented on Facebook and other medias, the older Swirlers are an additional underrepresented group. So we strove to see if we could kind of break the mold on that and start bringing in some of our seasoned Swirlers to talk to us. And that's how we got a hold of Mary Ellen, and she was kind enough to consent to help us.
And Mary Ellen, as a seasoned Swirler, what do you and your husband, and I believe your husband's name is Dakota, is that correct?
Yes.
And we want to say hi to him, too. Hi, Dakota, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
Doing well. We're so happy to have both of you on the show. And Mary Ellen, as a seasoned Swirler, just kind of tell us a little bit what you'd like for us to accomplish in this conversation tonight.
Well, I'm here today, Michelle and Adrienne, to share an information that I think will help seasoned adults that are not in any relationship at all. And, you know, the adults that have a desire, well, black women that have a desire to enjoy their golden years with that special someone. I know a lot of single women who are single, but they're not single by choice. They just don't, you know, they don't have anybody in their life. And, in fact, I have several friends that are single, and they have a desire to meet someone, but they're not open-minded enough. And I really feel sad for those people because, you know, I would love for them to be as happy with their special one as I am with my husband. And I've often said to my friends, you know, sometimes you have to be more open-minded and perhaps meet someone that is not of your race. And I just kind of feel personally that God created us in His image. And He did not say to any race, you stay within your race and not be open to other races when it comes to finding that special one or that loved one. And I've had friends that tell me, well, you know, I love my brothers, you know, I want my brothers. I said, well, you know, I had a father and I had a brother. They were black, African American, and I love them too, but that doesn't mean that, you know, God doesn't want me to love my Caucasian husband. And I've also had a friend tell me that, oh, I'm going to wait on the Lord to send me my husband. But my thoughts on that also are that, you know, you can be so focused on God sending you a black husband that you may miss the non-black husband that God actually sent you.
Amen to that.
Yeah. And so I haven't always been open to interracial relationships, but when I met my husband, Dakota, I knew that it was God sent after being married several times before him.
Well, Mary Ellen, wow, before we move a little further, can you just tell us about how you and Dakota met and just kind of give us the background on the two of you getting together?
Okay, well, we met in Primerica office. Dakota was in Primerica, and he was already there as a financial analyst. So I joined the company, and we met, and we were friends, and we did appointments together. And, you know, after a while, we just became attracted to each other. We were, you know, we had a lot in common, even though we're different nationalities. We both were retired he's retired military, and I have 12 years of Army, and he's retired Marine Corps. So we had the military, you know, background in our favor. So we joined American Legion. So we both were part of American Legion. And then when I joined Primerica, that gave us more commonality.
You know, Mary Ellen, that's interesting. And if you don't mind, I want to back up and get your thoughts on the fact that you said prior to meeting Dakota, you were not interested in interracial dating, if I heard you correctly. In that case, give us a little bit of what your thought process was and how you believe that thought process began to change.
Okay, without giving too much away of my book.
Oh, no, I don't want you to do that.
Yeah, well, when I met Dakota, I don't know, I felt like I was at a point in my life that I, you know, what my marriage wasn't, you know, it didn't work out, so I felt that I was at a point in my life that I wanted to explore a different kind of life. And I think prior to meeting him, I wasn't open to interracial relationships because I was so concerned about what my friends would say, or
okay.
I was concerned about what society would say. So
okay.
it was a big challenge for me, but, you know, love was there in my heart, and so I just kind of threw all that out and decided, you know, it's not the color of the skin, but it's the person within. So that's what made me change my mind, that I wanted to explore a different lifestyle.
All right. Well, let me do this. And Dakota, I want to ask you a similar question. Don't give anything away. But in a general sense, tell us what your attraction was to Mary Ellen. I don't know. Well, let me ask this, if I may. Like I said, I don't want to give away too much because I'm waiting for this. I bet you this is going to be one great book. But what I want to know is, were you prior, Dakota, attracted to black women? And if you were not, what made you decide, okay, let me open up other opportunities for myself?
Well, I think as a man, I was attracted to probably any woman, and I didn't, well, I shouldn't say any woman, but I wasn't concerned about the color of a person's skin, and although Mary Ellen used that phrase, I like to take credit for coining it. I don't know if it's original or not, but I felt that, you know, it's not the color of your skin, it's the person within. And when I first met Mary Ellen, I was extremely impressed with her. She's so personable and outgoing and so self-confident and classy. In fact, she had on her car a license plate that said Classy One.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Cool. Wow.
And I always thought that wonderful lady matched that license plate. That was a perfect description, and so we got to know each other, and we worked very well together, and it just grew from that. And it did not matter that we were from a different race. I did not see her as someone different than me.
All right.
So well, who made the first move, or how did you guys, or is that in the book, Mary Ellen?
That's in the book, but I'll just tell you briefly, I made the first move.
Well, I want to veer off on that. This is a question in regards to things that we do talk about on the page itself. We answer questions, how you messaged us. We'll get messages from time to time, women genuinely asking, what should I do or something like that. They want to meet someone. And Michelle does the blog, and she made a comment between being thirsty and being, I forgot, Michelle, what was that word you used? Between thirsty, some women are very thirsty. In other words, they're dying for a relationship that they will take anyone without doing any time of vetting. And then the person or the woman is not, I can't think of the word Michelle used, but
maybe outgoing or something like that.
Outgoing or something. So perhaps you can shed some light on and maybe inform some of our ladies, regardless of age, the difference between being aggressive in a way that allows a man to think they can use you any type of way because you want someone so badly, and being confident enough to go up and say, you know what, this is someone I might like to meet. Let me go speak to him, or let me go talk to him.
Well, I never really, that's not how I met Dakota. Like I said, we worked together, so I don't think I would have ever had the nerve to walk up to someone to walk up to Dakota and say, I like you, can we get together? What we did is we had a vendor event, and we just kind of joked around. We had a Cry America vendor event, and so after the event, well, actually, during the event, they had a massage therapist business on site. So we were just kidding, I'll give you a massage, you give me a massage. Unprofessional, of course, but anyways, we talked about that. So once the vendor event was over with, we decided, I asked him, did he want to go have a drink? And so we found a place, a bar beside, close to where our office was, and we talked and, about our event. We talked about Primerica, and then, I told him, I said, there's something I want to say before we leave because the time was getting late. And so I told him, I said, I've been fantasizing about you, and to my surprise, what did you say, Dakota? To my surprise.
Well, as I remember it, I told you that I was attracted to you.
Yeah, he said the feeling was mutual, right? And I was really surprised when he said that, because I thought, wow, I didn't really know he felt that way either.
And that's wonderful, because it seems like you had said before about God putting people in your lives at the time you need them or what he wants. It was obviously providential in regards to you getting together and talking, and even the way you all talk to one another, joking and laughing around, making it easier for you to broach the subject as, hey, I'm somewhat interested. So that's a wonderful thing. If you don't mind, I'd like to go back to that church, God waiting, women talking about waiting for God to send them a good man. Usually it's a good black man, because we're talking about black women in particular right now. And I grew up in the church also, Mary Ellen, as also did Michelle. And that statement about I'm waiting for God to send me a black man or send me a strong black man or whatever really makes me cringe. I know that you have explained to some degree about God waiting, women saying that, but what other types of feedback do you get when you try to tell them, God has put people here for you to go out and make some wise decisions in regards to who you want to be with, or if you would like to have someone, especially if you're chronically single? What advice have you given?
Well, like I said earlier, I usually tell them, you have to be open-minded. you know, you have to be open-minded because maybe you might need to find some outside your race. That's basically what I tell them. I said, I don't feel there's anything wrong with dating outside your race or being married outside your race. I said, but if you're not open-minded, you're not going to meet anybody. And I also tell them, well, nobody's going to come knock on your door. So you're going to have to, you know, be assertive and make yourself available. That's what I normally tell them.
Has anyone ever had a reaction to say to you, well, let me at least give it a try? Do you know of anyone that's had any?
Well, I did have a friend that she did give it a try. I did. I had a friend. She gave it a try, but it didn't work out. I don't know if she was not comfortable with it. She worked with this particular person, and they worked, together, and they went on dates. But it didn't work out for some reason. I don't think she was really ready to venture
right.
race. I think that's why it didn't work out.
Right. That does happen. That does happen quite a bit. And sometimes I think ladies, once again, regardless of their age, they will try and venture out, but they haven't come to terms with themselves. They haven't made a determination in themselves that I'm actually going to be open, as opposed to experimenting. And I do think that there is a difference between the two. I think that when a young lady or older lady, it doesn't matter what her age is experimenting, their mind is kind of closed because they're kind of thinking, this isn't going to work. I'm not expecting it to work. But I'm thinking
they don't like the stairs because, the stairs can be pretty brutal sometimes.
They can be. And it's tough. It's a tough situation for those. And speaking of stairs, let's talk about that, because as an older swirler, and also of course then coming through in this particular day and age, the younger people we talk to haven't been through what older generations have been through.
Right.
And so how has that affected you and Dakota in regards to being older swirlers, actually having been through the civil rights movement, the segregation and all of those things? What has that been like for you two in swirling and dealing with that and people looking at you oddly in regards to your relationship?
Well, it used to bother me. It used to bother me because everywhere we go, we get stared at. So even now, as long as we've been together, and it used to bother me, and I can't say it doesn't still bother me, but since I found your page, The Swirl World, and I've been reading some of the couples' experiences, it has helped me. I can say it has helped me. So when we get the stairs, I just feel like I want to wave at them. I don't do that, though, but that's how I feel, like I want to wave at them, or I might laugh, smile, or, maybe just look at Dakota, let the people know that, hey, I love this man. I'm not here for material reasons or for what I can get out of the relationship.
All right. Michelle?
Or Dakota?
Well, I it's apparent to both of us that Marilyn is much more observant with regards to stares and people looking at us in a disapproving way. I pretty much ignore it. But especially when we first got together, I pretty much just ignored it. But because of Mary Ellen being so observant of it, I have become more observant. So I'm more aware of it, but I don't really do anything other than maybe put my arm around Mary Ellen so that basically tell them, yeah, okay, you don't approve, but that's your business. This is our business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We're together because we want to be together. We're not going to be influenced by somebody giving us a dirty look.
Very good. And that happens a lot. May I ask you, Dakota, as you said that sometimes you weren't aware of it, and I think if I heard correctly, Mary Ellen would probably has made you aware of it. Do you believe that being a man, usually men don't pay a lot of attention to some things, and also being a white male, do you think that might have been the reason why at first it really didn't dawn on you, or you didn't care, or because, you just had that sense of, well, why do I care whether they're looking at us? Did you have to learn Mary Ellen's sensitivity to the stares that you all were getting?
Yes, I did have to learn that, and I did have to learn that that there are people in her race that disapprove of a black woman being with a white man. And I just never thought that it was something that would bother other people because it didn't think it was any of their business. But having been married to Mary Ellen and with her and her pointing things out to me later on, did you see how that guy was looking at us? You know, that sort of thing made me more aware of it. And
right.
Yeah, and it's not just the black man, it's the white woman too, it's the white man. So the stories come from all nationalities, but I think the black van stare is more intimidating to me than the other stares. And for some reason I feel that way, you know? I cringe when I have to go around one.
I think you have a fair assessment. I think one of the things that I find, now this is for me personally, I'm more along the lines of Dakota. I don't care who stares at me. I really don't. I'm more like him, like, that's your problem. So I'm kind of more like him, where I'd like, if I'm out with my husband or something and someone stares at me, I make sure I look really good so yeah. that they are able to say, gosh, I wish while I'm staring I had that. So I make it, if they're going to stare, I'm going to make it worth their while. That's just my nature to do things. But in regards to the black man, I understand where you're coming from. I think the thing that gets me and makes me chuckle is the black man that's staring me down while he has either white woman, Hispanic woman, or Asian woman on his arm. And when I get that kind of stare, I'm almost in hysterics. I'm laughing so hard. I'm like, are you really, dude? Are you serious? But I understand what you mean, Mary Ellen, because black men, not all, we're not bashing black men. We're talking about those that have this sense of entitlement, because once again, they think like black women are solely their domain, whether they want to be with us or not. Right. We are their domain. So I certainly do understand why you feel that way. It is quite intimidating sometimes. I can certainly understand that.
Yeah, and I also go out of my way here lately. I think I read something on the internet. I don't know where I read it from. And so when Dakota and I are out and about, we approach a black male, I make it a point to look him dead in the eye and speak to him. I haven't always done that, but that's what I do. I don't turn my head like I don't see him, or you know, because you know, to me that would make him even worse infuriated.
You're right, and I agree with that, because you have a right to be with whom you choose to be. You don't have to, and he's a stranger. That's the other thing. I know that it's tough, but he's a stranger. I don't look away from stranger. I mean, like, you know, really, you know, take it somewhere else. But I think that's great. But you know what? Sometimes it takes time to get there. We still want to be liked, and we don't want people putting us down and making us feel bad, because that's normal. No human being wants that. But as you learn things, you begin to understand, okay, I don't really have to buy into this. And I think the more black women start not to buy into it, the better it will get.
Exactly. I agree. Yeah.
Michelle?
Well, Mary Ellen and Dakota, I thought of something while you were talking about some of the reactions you get or the stares. What was the reaction of your families when you two decided not only to date, but to get married?
Okay, well, for me, when I met Dakota, both of my parents were deceased, but I don't think my mom would have had a problem. But my sister, they didn't have a problem. I have one daughter, and she took to Dakota right away. She didn't have any objections to him whatsoever. So as far as my side of the family went, not that I would care, but I didn't have any disapproval from my side of the family. Now, I did have problems with Dakota's side of the family, because his children didn't care. They didn't take to me. And so, as you know, today as we speak, being together 18 years, I still don't have a relationship with them. His dad did come to stay with us, because his mother passed away before we got together. So his dad, you know, he was a guest in our home. We came to visit us several times. And, you know, I never really knew how he felt, but he treated me cordially. You know, he treated me, he didn't say anything derogatory or treat me any different. When I would hug him, he didn't pull away or anything like that. So that's my opinion. Dakota, what is your opinion?
Well, we kind of disagree to some degree, or we agree to disagree with my children, but I understand pretty much where Mary Ellen's feelings are coming from, and I think things have improved over the years. I know my mom and dad, my mom, they're both passed away now, but my mom never did meet Mary Ellen, but I'm totally confident that she would have accepted Mary Ellen wholeheartedly, and I do feel that my dad did. And I will say this, when I went to, the first time I went to one of Mary Ellen's family reunion, her brothers-in-law, because she's got several sisters, took me in just like one of them, and I really felt accepted and welcome, and I just enjoyed being around them. Both of our families have been, with maybe some little bit of exception on my side of the family, but pretty much both of our families have been very accepting with regards to our relationship.
Well, that's wonderful. That's good. Sometimes there's a struggle from time to time, but mostly if you see that the two people that are in their IR are in love, I think sometimes most people will step back and just leave them be and just let them be in love, just let them be happy. Most family members want their relatives to be happy. And so I think that's good. As speaking of happy, that's something that Mary Ellen and I talked about. So Mary Ellen, one of the things that I want you to expound on, because we were going back and forth in messages on this subject, is that you had told me something, which I agree with, is that we just want Black women to be happy. Yes. Tell us a little bit about what you mean when you say that.
Well, I think I talked about it earlier. I want them to be happy. I want them to have, someone in their life that they can, do things with. Travel, they can, go out to dinner. Just have a relationship in their life and not just, wish. And so that's why I want them to be happy, because I think, God wants us all to have a partner in our life, and He doesn't want us to be alone by ourselves. So that, when I get with my girlfriends, once a month we get together for lunch, I just wish they had somebody in their life like I do. And so my wish is just for them to be more open-minded, and come on, if it takes dating outside your race, then embrace it and be happy.
Well, in being happy and embracing it and being open, give the older swirlers that might be listening to this podcast or reading our page or blog, and so give them a little advice in regards to swirling. Maybe give them some tips. They may not be quite, they also, older swirlers may be widowers, of course, or, they've had their families, and their families have grown and gone on, and they're starting anew. And so what advice would you have for them? What tips could you give them in maybe touching out on those waters, stepping out, and being a little bit open-minded and dating other types of men?
Well, my personal thoughts is, if you meet someone and there's an attraction, because you would know right away if you meet somebody, whether they're, if there's an attraction, no matter what race or what color they are, they could be white, Asian, Hispanic, Indian, etc., they should just don't let society dictate who they should be with or who they should love. And they should, for number one, they have to get over the stigma that I had about dating outside my race and not worry about what people think about it, as long as they're happy. So that's the only thing I could think of. They just have to be open-minded, and, if they meet someone and there's an attraction there, they need to go for it.
But, you have some great advice. You have even suggested some places that they might actually meet some people. Do you have any ideas in regards to that?
Well, churches are good. They're good. I think I said that they were, churches are a nice place. I know our church that we were members of is very diverse. And so, if I can't tell them to come to our church, but it's very diverse.
Okay, there.
Maybe going to a more diverse church, because we all know the Black churches are you know, if you want to meet somebody outside your race, you're not, it's not going to happen. And then grocery stores, you know, you can meet somebody in a grocery store. And there has been some people that, some ladies that have met someone online. I mean, ex-coworker of mine, she met someone online and she seems to be pretty happy. And I don't know, I really don't believe in the matchmaking because sometimes it doesn't always work. And then if you have friendship, that friendship might end because, you know, they blame you for it not working. So basically I would say churches, grocery stores, social events, public events, you know, like jazz concerts, you know, summer events, just anywhere. Get out of the house and go, you know, put yourself in a position to meet someone.
You know, that's interesting because I'm 100% with you on that. And one of the things that I preach, and I've said this to Michelle before, is you have to stop doing what you're doing and do something different.
And I'm
often telling ladies, and we're going to, hopefully we'll talk to someone that can actually speak to this in a couple of weeks, but, you know, do something you haven't done before. Let's say you like sports, mm-hmm. for example.
Right.
Go to a hockey game.
Right.
Go to the Civic Center, or my big thing is volunteering. And,
yes.
And I am so pro-military, our military men, and we have a large contingent of military on our page. And I'm so into doing things like that. I'm saying, you know what? Why don't you volunteer at a military base? I mean, there's something you can do there. Maybe
right.
they need help. Maybe they need a party plan. I mean, how diverse can you... I mean, diversity, I mean, military base, I mean, come on. Or going to, one of the things that I'm big on is going actually to the fire department or the sheriff's office or police department and become volunteers.
Right.
Volunteer there. You're going to meet different people there. Get out and do something you haven't done before. And I really believe a lot of people would be surprised at who they would find there.
Exactly, and there are a lot of non-black men that are looking to meet a black woman. I mean, you know, just for a quick experience, we were in Mexico last December, I think, and one of the sales guys, he was very open to Dakota and my relationship. He was very open to it, and, you know, you think, well, all that guy, he's not going to talk to a black woman, but I think if he had an opportunity, he would. He would date a black woman. And then I had, while we were there, we went to a owner's party, and this white guy gave me a compliment that I never received before. So they go, oh, you have a beautiful wife, you know, and I thought, wow, you know, and I just wanted, but those men are far and few because they're afraid of society. They're afraid of being blacklisted by their, you know, their comrades.
Sure.
There are a lot of them out there. I mean, I was really surprised the number on your page. I mean, there's a lot of them.
And there are quite a few, Mary Ellen. And the other thing is, and Michelle and I also noticed this, I think most people think that the pictures that we post are sent in by the majority of women, right, Michelle? Most people think that it's the women putting those pictures in.
Yeah, that's what they think.
But it's the men. The men send us the majority of those pictures.
Oh,
and it is. And the men are the ones that are sending the pictures, and they'll have those blurbs I write. They
uh-huh.
write them. I'm not writing them. I'm just copying and pasting what they say. They're the ones talking about, she's the light of my life. I wouldn't have had anything in my life that hadn't been for her. I love my family. I love my children. Those men are the ones that are putting up most of those posts. So you are absolutely correct about that.
And you can tell that they love their family. You can tell that they're proud of being with that black woman, too, by just looking at the pictures.
I see that,
you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know what, Mary Ellen? We have to now. We don't want to step over or step into something because we want that book of yours to be a success and for you and Dakota to come back and talk about it when it's all published. But we still want you to be able to talk a little bit about it. Give us, you know, give us a little more reason why it is that you need to write one and just expand to your comfort zone a little bit about your book because we'd really like for you to plug it and tell us a little bit about what you'll be writing about.
Okay, well, I started the book about 2.5+ years ago, I don't know, and then I stopped writing it I think I started when I first retired or either was still working, and then recently I decided that I needed to get busy and complete my book. And the reason why I wanted to write my book is because I wanted to share the different interracial relationships, because there's a lot of them out there. And I just, you know, my book is not going to be black and white interracial relationships. It's going to be all types of relationships.
Okay.
And I felt the need to write the book based on our marriage and our relationship, because of what we went through as a couple, as a married couple. That was one thing that actually really triggered me to write this book, because I felt that, you know, society need to realize that people are together because they want to be together and because they love each other. They're not together for any other reason. And so that was the reason that I, you know, ventured on to write the book.
Do you have a title yet?
Well, I haven't got the title yet. When I first started writing the book, the title was going to be "It's Not the Color of Your Skin, It's the Person Within." And then I thought, you know, I think I'm just going to shorten it. So right now I'm looking at "Within," but I haven't really decided on the title. I think "Within" would be a good title, but I haven't decided yet.
Okay.
And I really don't know the release date and what publisher I'm going to use, because I've been talking to several publishers, but I haven't gotten that far. You know, I'm just getting, you know, advice from each so I can compare.
Absolutely. Dakota, tell us what your role is in Mary Ellen's book. Are you helping her write it or giving her ideas?
I think I've been helping, because I've been answering her questions. But as far as the writing, I'm leaving that up to her. I've learned to be a very good proofreader when I was a commanding officer in the Marine Corps, and if she ever asks me to proofread it, I'll certainly proofread it. But I'm not going to try to tell her how to write it, because it is definitely her book. I will help her with punctuation and grammar and that sort of thing, but I'm not going to try to influence ideas or messages that she's putting in the book.
Okay.
And, you know, I will always offer my opinion when she asks me.
So, Dakota, what I hear you saying is that when the book is published and she's on Oprah's book club and it's got like million seller, you will be sitting there with her hand, holding her handbag, sipping on a drink, saying like, "Go ahead, honey, you go right ahead and you do your book. I'll just sit here and hold your purse." Well, you know, it has been great talking to both of you. Michelle, did you have any other follow-up questions?
Well, I know we definitely want to get Mary Ellen and Dakota to come back. I'd like to pick Dakota's brain a little more, and also Mary Ellen's. I was thinking about, she was talking about the man at the event they went to who gave her that compliment. And I was just thinking about, there are a lot, I'm sure, of men Dakota's age, or maybe even some of his friends or contemporaries, who would do just what he's doing if they had the opportunity. And I was just wondering what Dakota thought about that.
Do you think that, Dakota, did you have any of your friends that would be interested in swirling around, you know, that are your age and has your background and so forth? Would they be interested in swirling, do you think?
Circle of friends, I guess, is pretty limited, because like Mary Ellen told you from the get-go that she and I always do everything together. We're pretty inseparable. I don't have any single friends, at least not that I can think of, and certainly none that I can think of that are looking for a relationship. But if I were ever to be asked by someone about possibly dating interracially, I would always fall back to what I've always said with Mary Ellen. It's not the color of your skin, it's the person within. It doesn't matter whether you're red, white, blue, green, or yellow. It's the person. And I would always tell anybody that.
And Dakota, we are 100% with you. We know that is, as Dr. King would say, the content of your character, which is something we stress highly with our ladies. We absolutely tell them that they should have a baseline, and that baseline has nothing to do with color. So we are in total agreement there. Michelle, did you have anything else?
No, that was it.
And Dakota, and also Mary Ellen, did you have any closing words of wisdom for our audience, and especially our seasoned older swirlers?
Well, all I can say is, you know, go for it, be open-minded, do it from your heart and not because you feel that, don't be pressured into dating outside of your race. Don't settle for less. You know, if you're going to date outside of your race, you better get somebody that looks good.
Oh, I love you. I love you. I love you. I have, oh, I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, oh, boy. Not like a guy. Don't settle for any. Just because you want to date outside your race. That's all I have to say. And he's got to have a lot on the ball. He's got to like going for himself, you know? So that's all I got to say to these, to the people that, you know, want, you're thinking about swirling.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, dear. Absolutely. Dakota, do you have any closing words of wisdom for us?
I just stick with what I've said in the several times already. It's the person.
Yeah. I know. You know what, Dakota? You are on the ball. And one thing I can tell that I'd like about you meeting you, you would be consistent. I could ask you that question 50 years from now, and that's the answer I'm going to get.
Exactly.
I stick by that.
It's his story, and he's sticking to it.
Absolutely, and it's a good one, Dakota. We would never veer from that. That is absolutely the wisest thing we can tell anyone. Michelle, anything else?
That's it. Mary Ellen and Dakota, we really appreciate your time.
You're welcome. We appreciate you guys inviting us to be a part of your podcast.
And I think we both really enjoyed talking with the two of you.
Right.
Oh, thank you, because we have thoroughly enjoyed talking with you, and we again appreciate all of your input, and thank you so much, Mary Ellen, for awakening my eyes in regards to missing our seasoned swirlers and being kind enough to bring it to my attention and gracious enough to be on this podcast with us. Really appreciate it.
No problem. No problem. You're welcome.
All right. Well, we'll just, at that juncture, we'll close out. Thanks to all our listeners. Be sure to subscribe in iTunes. You can check us out on our Facebook page at The Swirl World and also the blog at theswirlworld.com. And we'll see you on the next broadcast. Till then, keep swirling. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining The Swirl World broadcast brought to you by theswirlworld.com. Please take a minute to visit our website and join our growing community by subscribing. You can also visit The Swirl World on Facebook. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast. Until next time, remember, life is better. In The Swirl World, keep swirling.
Endless passion for interracial love.
Find us on Facebook.
Facebook.com/The Swirl World.
The Swirl World. Swirling as it should be.